How about we pray and we will get right in. Lord, we thank you for today. God, the encouragement that we've heard so far and the way that we know you're walking with us. Today, Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts, our mind. Help us, Lord, hear from you. Lord, be open to you. God, make you our first response and not our last resort. I pray you bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning, Is God Your First Response or Is He Your Last Resort? James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 will be our scripture. And really dealing with the topic of going to God to receive what we need when we need it. Specifically dealing with wisdom today. What I find interesting is the growing amount of YouTube videos that are out there and being produced. But what's interesting is the type of YouTube video that continues to rank amongst the highest watched. There's a genre of YouTube called how-to, the how-to videos. So this is amazing because it's so helpful. I've found a lot of help myself in the how-to videos on YouTube, whether it's product review or doing a little DIY project or fix it yourself online. These videos have really taken off and they've gone viral. Here are some of the top watched videos when it comes to how-to. Ranking up with 77 million views, how to sleep while being pregnant. Okay, that's like at the top. 77 million views, how to revive a fish. Now, I'm not sure why you would need to know that, but that is there. 53 million people have looked up how to sneak candy into a movie theater. How to fix water damage on a laptop, 51 million. How to make the perfect chocolate chip cookie, 29 million. How to solve the Rubik's Cube, 29 million views. Now, some of those that are just as popular, how to swim, how to make a whirlpool, how to slow the aging process, how to paint a room. You know, we like to crowdsource knowledge and insight. And that's just maybe the human condition where we want to get insight, input, help, how to. And so we have now got this at our fingertips so that we can Google it. But what I'm going to tell you today is this. As helpful as the YouTube videos are, you actually have a greater resource at your fingertip that you're probably not using as often as you should. And it is who you guess. It is the Lord. Do you use God as the resource in your life like you should? Now, if we back up just a little bit, let me ask you this. This is a telltale sign. If you could sit down with one of the smartest people in the world, what would you ask them? Like if you could even go to God and ask him a question, what would you ask for? I think about there's a man in the Bible that had this opportunity. He went to God, almost like a YouTube situation, and he asked God for instruction on how to do something. His name was Solomon. Okay, he's known as the wisest man in the world back then and today. But this guy was really wise because what he asked God to show him, his how-to type in, was in governing the people of God. He asked for wisdom. This is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 3. He said, so give your servant a discerning heart. So this is Solomon praying. God, give me a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. For who's able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Verse 10, verse 11. So then God said to him, since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you said, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you from now until the end. Just like that, Solomon had the opportunity to go before God and ask him something, and what he got back was better than what he could imagine. You see, he got the wisdom, but God also blessed him with wealth and power and prestige, and it was pretty amazing what God gave him. But the main thing he asked for was wisdom. Now, wisdom is the topic today. Wisdom is what I think me and you need as Christians to discern the days that we're living in, the situation going on around us, how to make decisions in our own life. Man, good night. That's hard enough by itself. And here in our text today, God is telling me and you that if you need wisdom, quit going to YouTube. Quit Googling it or asking Siri or Alexa or trying ChatGPT. Let me tell you, there's a better AI out there, okay, and that is God's intelligence that you have access to unlike anybody else. And what he gives in response is real wisdom. So let me put this out there in the beginning. Do you want to be wise? Do you need wisdom in your situation and for your life? Today, you're in good company because God is here. He's joining you and he's offering to give what you need. Let me have Ricky read it to you in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Starting out in verse 5, James says it pretty clearly. If anybody lacks wisdom, just go to God and ask. And God, who gives liberally without reproach, he's going to give it to you. That is good news this morning. James, if we look at the context, is speaking to other Christians, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And he's telling them, hey guys, I know you're scattered out in the world. There's a lot going on around you that you were not anticipating, not expecting. I want you to bloom where you've been planted. But man, if you're just confused out there, not sure what to do or how to do it, let me tell you, listen, if you lack wisdom, just call on God and he's going to supply it. He's going to give it to you. He's going to supply it in a way that is unlike any other way that you've gotten wisdom. Because God is going to do it liberally, without reproach, without rebuke. He's going to show up in your life in a way that you personally need. But look at how he says this word. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This word wisdom is a Greek word, sophia, and it literally means without understanding. The lack idea that's attached to it means that you would have a perfect and complete understanding. So if you lack complete awareness, a fulfilled all the way to the top cup of understanding, discernment, I just don't know what to do. If you lack that in its completest form, that's why you ask. Now, this is all-encompassing because every single one of us, it seems, are always coming across situations where I'm like, I don't even know what I need to do. I'm not sure what direction I go. I'm not sure what button to push. I just don't know what to do. And God says, that's great. That's great. Then you qualify for this promise that I'm about to supply. The word lack, again, it means to have something left behind. And I'm sure you've done that before where you've run out of the house in a hurry and you're on your way to work and all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I left my phone or I left my wallet and you got to go back and you got to get it. And it's a hassle. Every single one of us experience that, but in a mental capacity where we feel like we're lacking. And James tells me and you that that is actually really good news because the lack in your mind is supplied by the fullness of the wisdom of God. That's why point number one this morning is that you should make prayer the first response and not the last resort. If this promise is true today, that you can ask God for wisdom and he will give it generously to you and overflowing to you without rebuking you, he's going to give it. If that's true, then why would we not make prayer our absolute, gut reaction, our reflex, as it were, whenever a situation comes up, immediately we pray. Immediately we go to God. Oh, I need to pray about that. Think about the implications of this. Maybe your prayer life is lacking because you don't genuinely think that God is going to provide or supply. This is a gut check for me and you about our prayer life. It reveals what we think about God and why we pray. When God says the whole time, oh, I want to give it to you, you just have to ask. And then so then we sit back and we never ask and we think that God's not going to give it. Oh, man, it is a funny situation. It reminds me of that funny little story where a man died and he went to heaven. And when he got there, he was given a guided tour by one of the angels. As he was walking around, he saw these warehouses and he approached, and one of the warehouses had his name on it. And he's like, what is this here in heaven? And so he asked to go in, and the angel said, no problem. And he opened the door, and there were thousands of boxes, different shapes and sizes. And he says, what are all these? And the angel said, well, these are the answers to the prayers that you never prayed. God was ready to send them, but you never asked. Obviously not true, but the implications are, God promises to give you something if you would ask. The only person who suffers when you don't pray is you. James 4:2 says it this way, here in our book just a few chapters later, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Life will present you with the same scenario over and over and over again, I have found. It seems that Solomon was right when he said that, you know, life, there's nothing new under the sun. You're always going to need help with something. You're always going to have a big decision that you need to make. You are always going to find yourself in a really tough place. You want to do something for the Lord, but not sure how to do it. And so often what we do is we ponder and we think. We have sleepless nights. We talk to our friends. We Google some options. We go to Patrick, okay, which is great. But there's another person that we should go to even before Patrick. We need to go to God. If you need wisdom, then you need to go to God who has the insight to give it to you. And on top of that, God wants to hear from you. That's what I love about this text, is that it's painting a picture for me and you of what God is like. It says that God who gives liberally and without reproach. God gives you his cell phone number, by the way. Okay, I know you got Patrick's cell phone number and you've got mine and you can call at any time, but we've got God's cell phone number. You know what it is? 333, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. You just pick up the phone and you call 333 and God says, hello, what do you need? I will supply it. Now, in my own life, this has been so helpful because I have faced these circumstances like you where I've had to call on God and God has actually supplied. Here's one. So I've mentioned this, you know, before. I worked in a heavy equipment rental store. It was Volvo Rents. I was there. It was great. I worked at the church at the same time. Well, the owner of this company offered me a full-time position with a company truck and a big salary. There was so many perks that came with this position, but I knew I wanted to be in ministry. I wanted to be a pastor. And so I had a decision to make. So, you know, the owner of this company calls me in. He puts the offer in front of me. He says, you got 7 days to make a decision. Come back in 7 days. Okay, no problem. So I go home and I tell my wife and I'm battling. I'm struggling. I don't know what decision to make. Man, look at the money. Look at the time that I could be home. Look at the hours I'm going to work. I got a truck. I get a gas card. Man, I get paid vacations. This is amazing. But I was battling. And so I took it to the Lord. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And you know what the funny thing is that I got no answer from God. 7 days later, I was still as confused because I felt like God was telling me to wait. He didn't say yes or no. He was telling me to wait. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So I go into the office, 7 days pass. I walk in, I sit down in front of the boss and then he goes, well, thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it. So we're expecting your answer. And I said, yes, I want to give you my answer. He said, but before you give us your answer, we have to apologize to you. It seems that we've overlooked some things and we're going to have to wait on this position because, well, things are not going as we hope. So our answer to give you is that we need you to wait. And that was the funniest thing. And I started laughing in this meeting, like, what? I can't believe you just told me to wait. That is the one thing that God's told me to do the past 7 days, just to wait, just to wait. And then I step in here and it's not about the job, but you tell me I need to wait. And I thought, there was the wisdom. God was giving me the wisdom, and it proved itself in the end. And I was rejoicing, and they didn't understand it, but God answered. God gave me the wisdom that I asked for. And throughout my life, God has always done that. When I've asked him, and he will do the same for you. Now, again, look at the type of God, though. The type of God that we're talking to. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach. That word liberally is actually not in the Greek. Okay, I don't know what English dude threw it in there, but it's not in there. This is what it actually says. It says, give to the giving God. The New Living Translation puts it this way, which is really good. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. So the idea is that God is saying, look, I'm a generous God and I love to give, the giving God. If you ask, it's coming. Did you know that God is just waiting to give it to you? Not only is he waiting to be generous, but he's the type that can be approached. He can be bothered. He can be borrowed from and is excited to meet that need. Now, we know there are certain people in our life that you can only ask for a favor as a last resort because they're that type of grumpy, you know, individual. They're stingy. They'll lecture you. It'll cost you in the end, you know. So you know it has to be a last resort. If I go to them, man, am I going to get an earful. So I need to be certain before I go ask for a favor. That's not God. It says he gives it without reproach. The word without reproach means there's no rebuke. He's not upset at you. He's not, you know, turning his nose up at you like, okay, what are you doing here now? Okay, what do you need this time? Okay, what mess have you got yourself into and now you need some wisdom? Yeah, go figure. Of course. Yeah, of course. You're in this situation now. You didn't listen to the wisdom before. And so now here we are again. That's not God. There's no reprimand. He's not making you grovel so that you can just get a little bit of wisdom. He's saying, I was hoping you would come. Yeah, I see your circumstance. I see the situation. I'm all knowing, of course, and I'm all present, so I've been with you. And I was hoping you would come and ask me for some wisdom. The answer is yes. I've been waiting to bless you. I want to pour it out upon you. And that is why prayer should be our first response, not our last resort, where we are hesitant, but instead we are excited. We get the idea of this willing father, but I want to show you now your part as we wrap this up. We understand who God is, but now understand your part to play when you do ask. It's not just the willing father, but it's the waiting child. Verse 6, but let him, that's you, ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The New Living says that when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone and don't waver. Point 2, if you ask and he answers, then you better accept. If you ask and God gives you the answer, then you need to do what he's telling you to do. You ask in faith with no doubting. James is not referring to the one who's wrestling with doubt, but one who has two minds. The word doubting means debating, contending, questioning God's wisdom for your life. So have you come to God for advice? If the advice is given, you can trust him that it's good advice. Not advice that you have to doubt or be skeptical in regards to. Now, this is important because we know in our own life there's wisdom. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so we go get advice from a bunch of people. But we also know at the same time there are certain people that their advice is biased. And it's not always for our benefit. And so we kind of take their advice with a grain of salt, as they say. We're like, okay, yeah, I know they said that, but I'm just not too sure. James is saying, no. Your Heavenly Father will give to you so generously that it'll be more than you need. But when you do ask and He does answer, then you need to be obedient, not doubting. The idea is that you are not just a hearer, but a doer. And that's later in the book of James when he says, don't be just hearers only, but doers of the word. We don't tell God no. We don't say, nah, that's not going to work, God. Or ask Him for another option. Like, okay, that's option A. God, can you give me option B? I'm not sure I want to do that. Or do the opposite of what God tells you to do or what the word instructs you to do. There's only one appropriate response to the Lord when He tells you to do something. You know what that is? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Unlike Jonah, who was told to go to Nineveh, and he's like, no, it's not going to happen. That's not a good response. God will have His way in the end. Your response to God's wisdom is yes. The person who argues and debates and undermines is contending with God. And so what I want you to see is this. If your heart, when you go to prayer, is that you're full of contention against God because you don't like what He says, then verse 7 and 8 is the description of your life, and that's a scary thing. Verse 7 and 8 says, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Isn't that revealing of maybe people in our life that you've given wisdom, godly wisdom. They've prayed, they've heard from God, they've read their Bible, they know what they're supposed to do, but they don't do it. No, it's not going to happen. That's not for me. That doesn't work. I've tried it before. You know, and they ignore, they contend, they argue, they debate with God, with godly wisdom. And then you look years later down the line at their life, and where did they end up? Worthless. Okay? They've wrecked their lives. They've shipwrecked their faith. This person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They're double-minded, unstable in all they do. No wonder they can't hold relationships. No wonder they can't hold a job. No wonder they can't run their you name it. They can't run their own home. It's because they can't even listen to God. The only condition that God gives to His children is that they would receive what they're given, trust what they're told, obey what they are instructed. That's it. You ask, He answers, you accept. You agree, you adhere to it, you act it out. A request that does not take God at His word, that doubts either His ability or His trustworthiness, is presumptuous and worthless and will not accomplish anything. So why is it that prayers go unanswered? Because God knows the answer would be untrusted. Did you know that God is aware of your heart even before you pray? This is what it's revealing. God knows what's going on in you before you even open your mouth. And so as a child, you have to say, I can trust my daddy, my heavenly Father. He's going to give me good advice. He has my best at heart. He knows what I need. The wisdom I'm about to receive, I can apply it. I can trust it. I can take it to the bank. If that's your heart, God says, I'm going to give. But if it's the double-minded, arguing, contending, debating, I'm not going to do it, God says, nah, you're not going to receive anything from me. And so that is a check for me and you today. What does your relationship with God look like? Are you that waiting child upon a willing father? Or are you the obstinate child that wants their own way? That no matter what the Father says, what the Lord is wanting, you just want to do what you want to do. That's a sad place to end up in the Christian life. And it's a very hard one, by the way. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it's a hard thing. The life of a transgressor is a hard thing. It's hard to go in obstinance to God. And it'll cost you a lot in the end. Today, my encouragement is that you would be willing, that you would be waiting upon the Lord, that you would run to Him with everything, saying, Lord, I need you and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask in faith. I'm going to ask, I'm going to believe. Meaning I'm going to trust you and trust what you tell me, God. And if I trust you, I know that you will take care of the results. Final story as we end. It reminds me, I enjoy reading biographies. My son reads them a lot, and so he just recently read this biography, and it reminded me of this really cool story. His name was Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was sailing to China. He's a missionary going to establish a missionary work. And so he's on this boat, and it's an old sailboat, okay? There's no motor. There's no modern technology. So they're sailing. Well, the ship on the way to China became in great danger because there was no wind. And there were some islands that they were passing by that were full of cannibals. And closer to the island were all of these sunken reefs. And so the captain of the boat said, hey, we're in real trouble. You know, we've tried all that we can do. It seems that we've gotten out of this current, and there's no wind. We've got no direction here. The rudders aren't working, and it looks like we're going to run aground. We're going to hit these reefs. And as they look out over the islands, they could see that the cannibals were building fires on the beaches, ready for them to crash so they could eat them. You know, like, that's a pretty bad day, all right? Like, you're seeing the people that are hungry, okay, bloodthirsty for you. And so the captain said, look, we've done everything. There's nothing more that we can do. And then Hudson Taylor speaks up and he says, and I'll read you from the biography. He says, a thought occurred to me and I replied, no, there is one more thing that we've not yet done. Well, what is it? He asked. Four of us on board are Christians. Let each of us retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer, let us ask the Lord to give an immediate breeze. Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, he left the captain's presence and went back to the deck and prayed. They prayed together, and then he left his prayer closet and walked back out to where the first officer was standing. And he told the first officer, sir, I want you to let down the sails. Well, what would be the good use of that? He answered. I told him that we had been asking God for a wind and that the wind was coming right now. He listened and let down the sails, and crazy enough, within minutes, the wind began to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. Today, ask for wisdom. God will give it. But if he gives it, you better be obedient to it. Listen, if you pray for rain, then bring an umbrella. God's going to supply. God's going to answer. We must believe in the immense, omnipotent, holy God of Scripture, that he is equitable in giving his own word and keeping his word. In terms of our present passage, if we're in trials, we can ask for wisdom, truly believing that God will give it to us. It is as simple as that. Make prayer your first response, not your last resort. Let me pray. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word, your time, and Lord, the way you speak to our hearts. I pray that this truth would resonate in our hearts today and teach us the great truth that you are a trustworthy God. And what you say, you do. Help us, Lord, ask and be obedient. I pray for my friends now. In Jesus' name, amen.